Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, we've had a real busy couple of weeks here. Last week, it snowed really hard, something that I know my wife didn't expect because, you know, we're down here in Albuquerque now, and it snowed about 6 inches, which is one of the reasons why I didn't do my show last week. It just, the timing of everything was just wrong, so I had to cancel, and that's one of the reasons why I'm doing the show today, to make up for one of the shows that I missed. And over the past couple of weeks, we've just watched the Democrats just totally losing it. You know, it seems that no matter how much they are losing the respect of everyone, the Democrats, and sadly some of the Republicans too, I can't get away from that one, cannot seem to get it through their thick skulls of mush that they work for the people, not the other way around. The election of 2016 beat Hillary Clinton, and true to form, since she supposedly won the popular vote but lost the electoral vote, Democrats started working to overturn the will of the people and take Trump out of office. Yet that is not the worst of it all. Since the moment that Donald Trump, citizen, decided to run for president, the Democrats and the leftists in this nation went to war. Not against our enemies, mind you, but against the American people. You know, and they've got things like, you know, today's bitch-ass leftist children will cry at anything. 668,557 overdose deaths in 2018. You know, Saudi Arabia is committing a genocide in Yemen. Mass extrajudicial surveillance of U.S. citizens. Largest prison population in human history. 78% of Americans live paycheck by paycheck. Real American kids only cry about bartenders becoming politicians. Now, every one of those things that I listed are not because of the right. It's because of the left. Anything and everything that a Republican or a patriot said was suddenly racist or treasonous or something like that. The reason for the photo above, you know, which I just read you parts of, yes, my friends, it got that ridiculous. The sad part of this is the Democrats got to the point and stayed there. They just totally stayed there. Hello, Vorp, good to see you there. The will of the people didn't matter because their precious Hildebeest lost. It was because Trump colluded with Russia until one was debunked, and then it was a phone call to President Zelensky of the Ukraine, of course, when the president, both Trump and Zelensky, said there was nothing wrong with the phone call. The Democrats imploded and completely unimpeded moved on to the next. Tyranny, and then that was debunked, and they moved on to the next. Bribery. Folks, let's get this straight. The ones that are committing all these offenses against the American people is not Donald Trump. It is the Democrats, the leftists in this nation, who cannot get over being beat and therefore have decided to take the mantle upon themselves and force the issue. An issue the people would rather not hear about. And that issue, that the American people do not know enough of how to run the country to know who they voted for. Therefore, it is up to the Democrats to solve that problem for us, because we're definitely not smart enough to do it. This last week, the Democrats have lost battle after battle, and President Trump has declared the war over. But the Democrats, over the objections of most all the same people, have decided to move on with their debauchery and their treachery, and treachery is just what the Democrats have up their sleeve. They care nothing for the will of the people. They care nothing for the Constitution. They care nothing for the rule of law. The only time that the Democrats will ever talk about the rule of law or the Constitution or our so-called democracy is when they are not getting their way and they're getting their butts whipped. And right now they are getting all of that, even by their own actions. Yet they will not learn to shut the hell up and let things go. They will not start working on trying to win the next election. None of that matters now because President Trump is the president and they do not like that one little bit. So winning the next election is not in the cards for them because they're not aiming at that, which they should be. Only getting Trump out of office is. Now, here is where the problem with the Democrats, as I see it, and you can take this to the bank. When the 2020 presidential election comes and goes and Trump beats out all the Democrats who are running against him, this whole fiasco that is going on now with the Democrats making up story after story to get Trump out of office will not stop. It's going to continue until the time comes that Donald Trump is not in the White House anymore, until the time comes that a Democrat again resides in the White House. Then they will work overtime on reversing anything and everything Donald Trump and the Republicans have done to make our economy do what it's doing now, which is it's going really good. And then they will take credit for the good economy while doing their best to destroy it again, while blaming the Republicans for everything that will go wrong. Mark my words, this will happen. And everything bad that will happen to this great nation will be because of the Democrats and, of course, the rhino Republicans who cannot seem to find their backbone to stand up against these socialists who want nothing but to destroy this nation. It's time the Republicans started fighting back like Representative Jim Jordan has been, and he's... He's actually been doing some pretty cool things. This was him last week.
Mr. Jordan. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 55 days between July 18th and September 11th that there was a delay on sending hard-earned tax dollars of the American people to Ukraine. We're not talking any country. We're talking Ukraine. Ernst & Young said one of the three most corrupt countries on the planet. Our witness on Friday, she testified in her deposition. Corruption is not just prevalent in Ukraine. It's the system. So our president said, time out. Time out. Let's check out this new guy. Let's see if Zelensky's the real deal. This new guy who got elected in April, whose party took power in July. Let's see if he's legitimate. Now keep in mind, as has already been discussed, in 2018, President Trump had already done more for Ukraine than Obama did. That's right. President Trump, who doesn't like foreign aid, who wanted European countries to do more, who knew how corrupt Ukraine was, did more than Obama because he gave him javelins, tank-busting javelins to fight the Russians. Our witnesses have said this. Others have said this. Obama gave him blankets. Trump gave him missiles. But when it came time to check out this new guy, President Trump said, let's just see. Let's just see if he's legit. So for 55 days, we checked him out. President Zelensky had five interactions with senior U.S. officials in that time frame. One was, of course, the phone call, the July 25th phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky. And there were four other face-to-face meetings with other senior U.S. officials. And guess what? Not one of those interactions, not one, were security assistance dollars linked to investigating Burisma or Biden. But guess what did happen in those 55 days? U.S. senators, Ambassador Bolton, Vice President Pence, all became convinced that Zelensky was, in fact, worth the risk. He was, in fact, legit and the real deal and a real change. And guess what? They told the president, he's a reformer, release the money. And that's exactly what President Trump did. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to have more witnesses like we've had today that the Democrats will parade in here, and they're all going to say this. So-and-so said such-and-such to so-and-so, and therefore, we got to impeach the president. Actually, we can get more specific. We covered this a little bit ago. They'll say something like Ambassador Sondland said in his deposition, where he said, Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmouk on September 1st, 2019 in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. And if you can follow that, that's the Democrats' plan and why they want to impeach the president. That's what we're going to hear over the next couple weeks. That's what we're going to hear. But no matter what they do, no matter how many witnesses they bring in here, four facts will not change, have not changed, will never change. The call shows no linkage between dollars and the investigation into Burisma or the Bidens. President Trump and President Zelensky have both said on the call there was no linkage, there was no pressure, there was no pushing. Ukrainians didn't even know the aid was withheld at the time of the phone call And most importantly, as has been pointed out, Ukrainians didn't take any specific action relative to investigations to get the money released. Now, there is one witness that they won't bring in front of us. They won't bring in front of the American people. And that's the guy who started it all, the whistleblower. Nope. 435 members of Congress. Only one gets to know who that person is. Only one member of Congress has a staff that gets to talk to that person. The rest of us don't. Only Chairman Schiff knows who the whistleblower is. We don't. We will never get the chance. We will never get the chance to see the whistleblower raise his right hand, swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. We'll never get that chance. More importantly, the American people won't get that chance. This anonymous so-called whistleblower with no firsthand knowledge, who's biased against the president, who worked with Joe Biden, who is the reason we're all sitting here today, will never get a chance to question that individual. Democrats are trying to impeach the president based on all that, 11 and a half months before an election. We'll not get to check out his credibility, his motivations, his bias. I said this last week, but this is a sad day. This is a sad day for this country. You think about what the Democrats have put our nation through for the last 3 years. Started July of 2016 when they spied on two American citizens associated with the presidential campaign and all that unfolded with the Mueller investigation after that. And when that didn't work, here we are. Based on this, the American people see through all this. They understand the facts support the president. They understand this process is unfair. And they see through the whole darn sham. With that, I yield back.
You know, and on that one, it amazes me. He talked for over 5 minutes. And saying the things that he did, Schiff didn't break in on him, which kind of surprised the heck out of me. I think maybe he might have been on drugs or doing something. But, you know, if it had been the way he has been, he would have stopped that before Jim Jordan even got any more going into that one. But it's just like I was saying before this, that 5 minutes of Jim Jordan, you know, it is the Democrats who are trying to destroy our republic, not the Republicans. Although, like I said before, the rhinos are helping on that. But the only thing the Republicans are guilty of now is not having the backbone to fight back. We need more like Jim Jordan. And welcome to the show.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you
Conservative Nation Media
with the doctor of this republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
I've been watching since I left Indiana is the weather between here and there. There's not really that big of a difference between Indiana today and here in New Mexico. Vorp in the chat room says it's 36 degrees there, but there's snow flurries at 4:08. That was about 7 minutes ago. Here it's about 44, 45, something like that, sunny, with probably about 20% humidity, and it's really nice outside, but there really isn't that much difference in the temperature. But it is sunny here, so that helps an awful lot. I'm actually kind of glad to get away from there, with the exception that, you know, Indiana is a pretty conservative state. New Mexico really is not, though it used to be. And it's kind of heading back that direction now, but it's still...
Oh, I'm sorry, I have my microphone shut off. Hopefully that most of that showed up a little bit. It'll show up better now that I got my mic on. But being here in New Mexico, actually, it's more like, it's, like I said, this last weekend we had snow and we had about 5 inches of it. That's probably about the, it was during Thanksgiving. And that was, I think, a record snowfall for Albuquerque on Thanksgiving. But by Saturday, most of it was gone. It actually rained on Saturday, which got rid of the rest of it. And then Sunday, the sun came out for a while. And today, the sun's been out all day. So all the snow that we had on Thanksgiving has been gone for a few days. The only place you can see it's up on the mountains. But I found a couple of fairly good articles. The first one that I kind of wanted to talk about came from Breitbart, and the headline on it is just, you know how with global warming, the people who believe in this hocus pocus that they have going, you know, if global warming, remember how global warming didn't work, so they changed it to climate change, and then they changed it. Now they're trying to... the alarmists for propose rebranding climate change for greater shock value. And they're in the process of this now. The climate change alarmists are pushing for a change in vocabulary now to scare people into taking global warming more seriously. And the funny part about it is yesterday or the day before we had a high of 38, which was 11 degrees below the normal. Well, to me, that's not global warming, but they want to do things like starting with the terms like global meltdown and climate collapse. They and they're getting to the point now where what they're talking about is like when they talk about climate collapse, that means that the whole system that supports life here on Earth is going to collapse and everybody's going to die. Well, this is the same thing that they were hitting us with back in the 70s when they were saying that by the turn of the century, everybody was going to be dead because Earth was not going to be inhabitable. Okay, well, that was like 20 years ago now. We're still here. And so are these morons who think that climate is going to kill everybody. Well, it's not. Writing for Adage this week, Aaron Hall argues that in order to get people to take action against climate change, rebranding is crucial. And this is something that they have done since, if you really want to think about this, they have done this since the 1920s, folks. In 1920, they were saying that the next ice age was coming and that everybody was going to die. Well, when that didn't happen, they went to, in the 70s, they went to global warming and how it was, the Earth was heating up and how everybody was going to die. And that's always the final end of everything that these morons think about. Everybody's going to die if we don't change things. Well, they keep talking about how we're going to die if we don't change things, but you have to think about this here. Back in the 70s, if you went to LA, you never saw a blue sky. It was always brown with smog. It was always off-colored because of smog. And because of the things that have been done since the 70s to clean up the air, now you can go to LA and see blue skies. But that doesn't matter to these global warming alarmists. And this is all they are, is just alarmists. They're just like the Democrats. Everything that doesn't fit their agenda has to be gotten rid of. And right now, they are calling, you know, they're doing things like calling for electric cars. Well, folks, I hate to admit, hate to rain on their parade, but where do we get our electricity? We get it from coal-fired plants. Now, here's one of the things that they want to do. They want to get rid of all of our coal-fired plants. So if they do that, where are we going to get the electricity for all these electrical cars that they want to have us running around in? They want to get rid of all of our coal-fired plants, which is probably about 80% of our plants. You know, our electrical stuff, plants. So they want to get rid of about 80% of our electricity, but make it so that we depend on electricity while they destroy the infrastructure for electricity. Smog alerts. But we have to stop and start thinking about what is really going on here. And, you know, I remember an ad back in the 70s that showed a kid standing on a railroad track with a train coming. And the whole vernacular of this whole thing was, if that kid didn't move, he was going to get run over by the train and killed. Well, that was the story that they were trying to push with this global warming stuff, that if we didn't change things by the turn of the century, we were all going to be dead. Earth would no longer sustain us. Earth would no longer be able to sustain life. So everybody would be dead. And they're going about the same thing again, using things like ideas like, you know, new terminology like global meltdown and climate collapse. This is freaking ridiculous, folks. Essentially, what they have got themselves into here is a billion-dollar business that doesn't do anybody good, but lines their pockets with money that they will never run out of, because they keep talking about all of this stuff about what we're doing to our planet, what we're doing to our climate, what we're doing to our air. But in this article, it says, is there a better way to convey the urgency of the situation while encouraging folks to take action? Could the tools of branding and brand naming create more resonant, powerful name, Mr. Hall asks. And when he and his marketing team came up with was a series of much more frightening labels to stick on climate change or the hope of jolting people into meaningful engagement. The terms global meltdown or global melting, for example, deliver a more negative image than mere global warming, he contends. The names signal that ice caps are melting, but also create more visceral image in the mind, that real feeling of melting when it's too hot outside. A meltdown is a disastrous event that draws from the ultimate terror of a nuclear meltdown, an apt metaphor for global destruction. Climate collapse and climate chaos, on the other hand, instill a clear message or even a direct call to action, Hall notes, adding that there's nothing neutral about collapse or chaos. but there is something neutral about what the hell they're doing to all of us. Can you even imagine how much money has been spent on this since the 20s, if you want to go back that far, and that's 100 years ago now. Billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars have been spent on this. And if you listen to these morons talk about it, nothing has ever been done. We are still in such dire shape that we're going to die in the next 10 years. The problem is, folks, in 10 years, we're still going to be here. Unless, of course, Judgment Day happens by then. And then if that happens, then there is absolutely nothing mankind can do about it to stop that. But this here is idiotic, to say the least. They're talking about mass deaths, mass suicides, mass everything that is not good for the country or good for this world. Yet none of it is based on truth. Because if they had based anything on this, on truth, they would stop trying to rebrand something that they renamed, and re-advertised over and over and over again to try to get more money from people who would believe this malarkey that is being handed to them. Then they hit us with this little thing saying that scientists agree that global warming is happening. Most scientists don't. The only ones that do are the ones that are in their back pocket. And they will quote those guys till hell freezes over, just to get their point across, when it's not really a point that needs to be gotten across in the first place. I have troubles with this idea that they push, because I've lived through a good portion of that. Nothing has happened. Everything that they have said has not happened. Everything they have pushed has not happened. They try to tell us what the weather is going to be like in 100 years. And they act like they know this to be absolutely the gospel. Everything that they're saying is true. But if you look at the people who are predicting weather now, they can't predict weather in a week out, let alone 100 years. Too many idiots pushing too many stupid buttons, and all it's doing is costing us money. Going back to House Intelligence Committee Chairman Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, is giving members of his committee just 24 hours to read and sign off on his report recommending articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump. Now, everything that he has tried to push in this whole thing has pretty much been debunked, but he's still pushing this thing. Just last week, he said that he wasn't going to stop, no matter what. And as Breitbart News reported Friday, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Representative Jerry Nadler has previewed the report and suggested it will include claims of collusion with Russia. Now, how many times has that been debunked? They're still going after it, folks. They do not listen to the facts. They do not listen to what is really happening. They're only pushing their agenda to make sure that Trump cannot do anything. They're trying to hobble him as a president. They're trying to get rid of him as a president because he was not their choice. It is a foregone conclusion that Democrats will sign off on Schiff's report. Evidence does not seem to be the top priority for Democrats. A majority favored an impeachment inquiry by August 1st, 11 days before the so-called whistleblower sent a letter to Schiff. And that whistleblower, that's nothing but a leak. That he sent a letter to Schiff complaining about Trump's phone call with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky. But there is something else on that one here.
The story from the Daily Caller, Kristen Ditok, reports that Jennifer Barbosa issued a scathing critique of Adam Schiff's leadership of the impeachment inquiry. Adam Schiff, quote, has been my congressman since 2012. He became my congressman through the redistricting process. Now, they state here, Barbosa, who is running as an independent against Schiff in California's 28th congressional district, said during an interview on Fox and Friends. Let's watch.
He became my congressman through the redistricting process. And since he became my congressman, he has not presented any legislation that's become law. In terms of homelessness, what he's done is he's basically rubber-stamped Maxine Waters' bill to deal with homelessness. And her bill essentially replicates the same failed policies that Mayor Garcetti has implemented in our city over the past few years. We know they're not working. So what we need to do in terms of homelessness, since you mentioned it, is we need to stop allocating federal funds for affordable housing, which costs $500,000 to $700,000 per unit, and really focus on mental
right.
health services for the people who are living on the street.
Yeah. See, Schiff has not, and this is from that audio, he has not signed off on anything since becoming a representative that has become law. The only thing that interests him at all is to get rid of President Trump. To hell with the truth, to hell with the facts, to hell with everything else that's going on. He's going to push his agenda, and he's going to continue to do it until he is no longer around. He cares nothing for what is actually happening. He cares nothing for what the people want. He cares nothing for anything but the agenda that he has stuck in his head behind those great big wild eyes of his, which is one of the reasons why when Jim Jordan last week was talking on that first audio that I did, that's 5 minutes and 4 seconds there. Schiff didn't say a word. That kind of surprised me. Because there's been other times I've got audio of Jordan talking and Schiff has broken in and said, no, you can't do that. We cannot allow what you're saying. But there's even stuff about Biden now that has come out that is confirmed to be happening before Biden even said anything about everything. This one came from the article that I was reading here, and I actually hit the wrong audio that I wanted to play. I should have played this one.
Yes, thank you so much. It's great to be joining you guys officially. Sean, I think you hit it on the head right from the beginning. I can confirm to you tonight that the U.S. government had open source intelligence and was aware as early as February of 2019 that the Ukrainian government was planning to reopen the Burisma investigation. This is long before the president ever imagined having a call with President Zelensky. In fact, it's before President Zelensky was even elected. This is a significant shift in the factual timeline. This is information that was omitted from the whistleblower's complaint. Let me tell you what we learned today. The U.S. government was aware through open source intelligence in February that NABU, an FBI-like agency in Ukraine that fights corruption, in fact, it was started by Joe Biden, that it requested a reopening of the investigation into Burisma, its owner Zelchevsky, and unusual transactions in the Burisma accounts in February of 2019. On March 28, 2019, the general prosecutor's office agreed to that a request to open an investigation, and they filed a 15-page notice of suspicion alleging that there may be illicit funds that were running through Burisma from 2010 all the way through 2015. That's important because Hunter Biden's on the board for two of those years, 2014, 2015. And specifically, that notice of suspicion said they were looking at the possibility that the $3.4 million paid to Hunter Biden's firm may have been part of the illicit funds that were moving through the company. A month later, in April, the prosecutor's office, open source intelligence, again, U.S. government officials confirming they were aware of this, made a request of another investigative agency in Ukraine for assistance in going through these bank records. That is a significant change in the timeline. It was omitted from the whistleblower's complaint, and the question is, did he not know it, or did he exclude it because it didn't fit the narrative he was trying to write? That's a question for Congress to answer.
Okay, that, you know, and that goes right in with what Schiff has been doing. You know, he's constantly pushing what the whistleblower said, but the whistleblowers came out after that, that what they found out about this audio that I just played. It says, however, as the Washington Examiner's Byron York has noted, Democrats are in such a rush that they are leaving potential facts out of their examination. That's what that audio said. For example, they would wage a court battle to force former National Security Advisor John Bolton to testify. Bolton reportedly disapproved of the role played by the U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, and Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani in relations with Ukraine. He could be a key witness. However, Democrats did not want to wait to hear what he had to say. They don't want to wait to hear anything because they are afraid that something will come out that will shoot their argument right out of the water, as it has happened every time they've tried something so far. As York noted recently in a column titled Why the Rush Towards Impeachment, Democrats are racing to get the job done by Christmas. They're not even trying to hear from some key witnesses like former National Security Advisor John Bolton because they don't want to take the time to go to court over it. York notes that the Democrats are fearful of letting impeachment drag into 2020 presidential primary when it will pull several U.S. senators off the campaign trail. And that's where we have to look at this here, folks, because a lot of the senators are up for re-election, Democrat and Republican. And if they get replaced by people who do not want to help the Democrats, then the Democrats' idea of what they want to do is screwed. That's why they want to get this done before Christmas. That's why they want to get this taken care of before Christmas, because they don't want to lose their chance. And they are going at it with the idea that if they can get it done, it doesn't matter if it's a lie. It doesn't matter if it's not true. If they get it done, it's done. It's a law, and they have done something that cannot be reversed. It can be, but it's harder to do once it has been pushed through government. And that's the thing that the Democrats seem to understand a lot better than the Republicans do. Because when it came to, like, Obamacare, Obama knew once it was made law, it would be more impossible to take it out of being a law than if they hadn't done it at all, okay? And this is actually proven true, because even when the Republicans took over and they got rid of key points of Obamacare, other parts of Obamacare are still there. They didn't get rid of the whole thing. And that's the problem with government. You know, it's like the Republicans will push something that sounds good on the surface, get it passed, but it works over 10 years. In 10 years, the hierarchy of the government will have changed. And if it changes to the Democrats, all the stuff that they had in this thing will not happen because the Democrats will change it. and they will change it in such a way that the American people won't even really realize what happened. That's what they did with the funding that happened for the border wall when Bush was president. The border wall was fully funded at that point in time. But the people's memories don't last long enough to really know what the heck is going on. And when the Democrats started taking over parts of things that were going on, or they pushed their agenda on the spineless Republicans, saying that, oh, this is needed more than that. This needs to be done too, and we can get the money from the funding for the wall. Well, that happened. All of a sudden, there was no money for the wall anymore, and the wall has to be funded again. See how government works, folks? It works in such a way that it just doesn't matter what is going on. Because we have geniuses in our government who will sit there and pass a law that sounds good on the surface, but it's over 10 years. That just makes it so it's no good right from the start. Because in 10 years, the government's going to change. The ideals that the government is running on is going to change. The people who are running this is going to change. And the law itself is going to be forgotten.
We will be right back after these important messages.
NWCR Radio. No one can really imagine what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. These families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss births, birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years. Their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. A lot of people don't realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you. Traveling home from emergencies that the military doesn't cover. The list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for us, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. SAMFAM, Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. We understand that separation is difficult, and being a single parent while your significant other is protecting our homeland is a burden that few can relate to. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for the active duty military. We also want to assist retired veterans. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for help. Right now, we can only accept checks made out to SAMFAM, Inc. That is SAM-FAM, Inc. 18 Eastern Avenue, Sacow, Maine, 04072. And that's SACO. Make sure to put my name or one of the other members' names on there so this can be credited with the right person. Your donations are tax deductible. Thanks in advance, and God bless.
Conservative Nation Media is proud to announce our newest show, Black by Color Only. For all you fruit bats out there, this is a fruit bat free radio show and well worth the listen. Tune in to Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay, we are back. The call-in number is 646-478-5284 if you want to be on the show. Former Secretary of State John Kerry on Saturday announced the launch World War Zero, a star-studded coalition of former heads of state and Hollywood figures dedicated to advocating for solutions to climate change. And here we got it again. You know, the forthcoming organization's website states their chief objective is to mobilize resources to tackle global warming in a way akin to the Western allies in World War II. This is getting totally ridiculous now, folks. Says the New York Times reports that John Kerry, who served as a senator in Massachusetts from 1985 to 2013, has recruited former presidents Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter, and former Republican governors John Kasich and Arnold Schwarzenegger. A-listers such as actors Leonardo, what's his face, and Ashton Kutcher, and rocker Sting are also on board. Other over 60 figures are said to have signed up for this coalition. Kerry said, "We're going to try to reach millions of people, Americans and people in other parts of the world, in order to mobilize an army of people who are going to demand action now on climate change sufficient to meet the challenge." He said that in an interview with The Times. Kerry has been an outspoken critic of the Trump administration's environmental policies, calling them, quote, profoundly dangerous, unquote, for the planet, and has repeatedly criticized the president's removal of the U.S. From the 2016 Paris Agreement. Of course he doesn't want – he's mad about that because, you know, that goes against, like I said, their idea of the way things should be, even though their idea is wrong. "Future generations will measure us by whether we acted on facts, not just debated or denied them. The verdict will hang on whether we put in place policies that will drive the development and deployment of clean technologies, re-energize our economies, and tackle global climate change," unquote. The Obama-era official wrote in an opinion editorial for The Times last year. He went on to say, "Every day that goes by that we're paralyzed by the Luddite in the White House is a day in the future that our grandchildren will suffer," unquote. And there it is again. Our grandchildren are the ones who are going to suffer because of climate change. No, our grandchildren are going to suffer because of the spending this government is doing. Don't you people understand? This has been a thing that's been going on since the 1920s. Last November, Kerry told The Guardian that, quote, "people are going to die with the U.S. no longer a part of the Paris Patch." He went on to say, "My kids and my grandkids are going to face a difficult world because of what Donald Trump has done." If they're going to face a difficult world, it's because of what the politicians have done. Our climate is fine. Climate is cyclical. This is something that this is a fact that global warming alarmists like John Kerry cannot seem to wrap their fingers around, or their brains for that matter, because their brains are too stiff with misuse and disuse that they don't have the ability to think anymore. All they can do is just go at something that they've been pushing for years that has been proven wrong time and time and time again. They keep saying that nothing has ever been done to stop global warming when a lot has been done. But it's like Rush Limbaugh always said, you know, it's kind of amazing that mankind thinks that they are powerful enough to destroy something that God put together. I don't think so. We never were and we never will be. We can damage it. And to a point we have. But there are all kinds of things going on here that, you know, people just don't even stop to realize. There is a new report out now that says these oil fields that were completely dry at one point in time are filling up again. Now, if they're filling up again, that means maybe the oil is part of the earth. Nobody ever thinks about this one. But nobody ever hears about it either, because nobody will ever report on stuff like this. And the only time that anything like that will ever be heard will be on something like my show that reaches maybe 20, 30 people at the most. Well, I can't say that because there have been hundreds that have seen several shows. But at an average, I only reach about 20 or 30 to 40, 50 people. That's not many in the scheme of things. That amount is growing because I've been trying to do this show again, trying to keep it going. Of course, then I have things like last week where I couldn't do it. Something happened and I wasn't able to be here. And I don't think I was here the week before either. But we have a duty, folks. We really do. And it's to this earth. And one of the things that we have a duty to do is to listen to the facts, watch the facts, research the facts, instead of going off half-cocked like John Kerry and these global warming alarmists do all the time. The things that have been going on because of global warming have just driven me insane. You know, and I've gone back. I've studied this whole thing. I've gone back to the 1920s. And it was the Democrat Party that was pushing it then too, saying that we were going to die in 20 years if we didn't change things. Well, of course, at that point in time, we did change things. In the 70s, the same thing happened. We're going to die by the turn of the century if we didn't change things. We changed things. In 2000, it happened again. 2010, it happened again. 2015, it happened again. 2019, it's happening again. Same argument, same thing. We're all going to die, yet we're all still here. 100 years after it started. And we're all doing fairly well, I think. The only thing that is not going well on this whole thing is the fact that we've spent billions and billions of our money on this crap, and that's all it is, that seems to be something that nobody will look at. Nobody will watch. Because we have problems that are much bigger than what the Democrats are trying to push at us. We've got problems that are much bigger than a lot of the Republicans are trying to push at us. And none of them are being talked about because the Democrats and the Republicans don't want it talked about. This whole idea that global warming is going to kill us. No, global warming, climate change is cyclical. It has always been cyclical, and it will be cyclical until the day this earth disappears. No matter what, there is absolutely nothing that we can do that will stop climate from being what it is. And that's all there is to it, folks. I found an article on Daily Caller called "The Dangerous Way Liberals Coddle Criminals." And they do. We all know this. And it happens in the UK. It happens in the United States. It happens all over the freaking world, folks. Democrats coddle terrorists and people who murder people. And they coddle them by saying, oh, the way that they grew up caused them to be this way. Now, I have known a lot of people who have grown up in horrible situations. I can't really say I'm one of them because I didn't. I mean, you know, when I was 17, my mom and my dad divorced. It was kind of an ugly thing. But I didn't really have anything horrible happen out of it because my dad worked for the government. He was not around very much. I lived with my mom, with my mom and my brother. We lived in Colorado. My dad lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico at that point in time. He worked for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. When they got divorced, a situation was set up where me and my brother could come down to Albuquerque in the summertime and visit dad and then go back in the wintertime to be with mom. Well, that first year, I decided I liked Albuquerque. I wanted to stay. And over that, my brother and I didn't talk for years, but that kind of passed. I lived here in Albuquerque for 13 years after that, 13 or 14 years, something like that. Then I moved away. I was gone for about 13 or 14 years. Well, actually, I was gone for a lot more than that because I was gone for about 30 years, really. I finally got back here. I'm glad I am. During that whole time, my brother lived in Texas. My mom lives in Washington State. My dad died in 98. But my upbringing did not cause me to go out and murder people. My upbringing did not cause me to go out and be horrible to people. My parents did a good job of raising us. Thankfully, I didn't have to go through spousal abuse or anything like that. Some people do. I've had a few friends who have gone through all of that. I've gone through friends who have been abused by their parents. They didn't go out and start murdering people because they had such a horrible lot in life. The only thing the Democrats do when they coddle to the criminal is to give the criminal the idea that what they're doing is okay.
the Democrats are the ones who have been taking all of the punishments and the consequences away from these people.
We will be right back after these important messages for the second hour of the show. For a truthful change of pace, tune into Conservative Nation Media, where America is the good guy and illegals and terrorists are not.
Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
With Christmas just around the corner, we have a lot to talk about. Giving help and supplies to the families of active duty soldiers is one of these things. SAMFAM, Inc. is a 501c3 Part 1 nonprofit organization based in Saco, Maine, that exists to help the families of our active duty military members. During this time of year, the children of these brave heroes need things that the family just cannot get for them. That is where SAMFAM, Inc. comes in. SAMFAM has a Christmas stocking drive going now that will help the families of our brave soldiers during their time of need. Donations of product or money is accepted, and donations are 100% tax deductible. To give, send your donations to 18 Eastern Avenue, Saco, Maine, 04072. That's 18 Eastern Avenue, S-A-C-O, Maine, 04072, with your name, so that SAMFAM can get these families help during the Christmas season of 2019. This is worthy cause, my friends, and SAMFAM, Inc. will give your donations to the families of our active duty warriors. If you wish a receipt, send a self-addressed stamped envelope with it, and the receipt will be mailed back to you. Help them while the military fights to keep our freedoms, one of our great American traditions. And Merry Christmas to you all.
Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you
Conservative Nation Media
with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, we are back. The second hour of the show is not going to be a full hour because I have a couple of things that came up this afternoon that made it so I could only do an hour and a half show, and I pushed it back an hour so that I could do this, because at 3 o'clock I've got there at about 3:45 I have to be gone from here, which means that by that time I would, you know, normally would still be on the air. we've had a bunch of, like I said before, we've had a bunch of things that have been going on all over, especially around here and especially in the United States. But, you know, this whole idea that this Adam Schiff has to keep this impeachment inquiry going. Trump and his lawyers refuse to attend, because if you've been watching this whole thing, it's totally unfair. They're not allowing Republicans to say too much of anything. The witnesses that should have had the chance to say things haven't been able to say things. The witnesses that the Democrats thought were going to be just the end all to Trump's presidency were allowed to say anything and everything that they wanted, even though the stuff that they were talking about was usually debunked and totally put out the pasture, because none of it, because very little, if any of it, was true. And I don't blame President Trump and his lawyers for refusing to attend it. It's a slaughterhouse. A slaughterhouse that's made to get rid of Republicans only. The problem with that lies in, if you'd sit there and look at it and see if suddenly a Democrat comes off and says, oh, now wait a minute here, that isn't really true, they get thrown under the bus too. Democrats will throw themselves under the bus if they don't agree with their agenda. And the things that are going on here are just totally insane. We cannot, by any stretch of the imagination, keep going on what is happening here, because what we have is a bunch of, like from my blog, that thing that talked about today's bitch-ass leftist children will cry at anything. And you've seen pictures of them. That one picture of that woman crying to the sky because President Trump was elected, and all of a sudden her world was over. Really? Do we have to go to that far? The whole thing is that Trump is doing what he said he would do. Against all odds, might I add, because all the Democrats are against him, have been since day one, actually have been since before day one. A lot of the Republicans are right in there with the Democrats. He has very few friends in Washington. And the things that are going on in Washington are pretty much destroying the rule of law that we have in this nation. We have to start watching what is going on, folks, because the Democrats are doing everything that they can to destroy the rule of law in our land, pretty much, especially if the rule of law does not fit their agenda. And as of lately, it doesn't. They keep putting in there that Trump is not following the law, and he is doing everything he can to destroy our rule of law. Really? No, he's not, folks. No, he's not. That's just, you know, the thing that the Democrats are trying to push on all of us is that Donald Trump is destroying our democracy, of which we're not. They don't care. And the whole thing from Breitbart, they have an exclusive here that saying Representative Scott Desjarlais, I guess, Desjarlais, says Democrat impeachment witnesses raise more questions than they answer. And then it goes on to say chief impeacher Alan Schiff's star witnesses admitting to having no firsthand knowledge of the alleged deals at the center of the Democrats' impeachment case. That right there would have thrown anything like this out of the courts with the judges laughing behind them. Before, it's not doing it anymore because the Democrats think they're in charge. The Democrats in our House of Representatives are in charge. And they think they're in charge in the Senate too. And they're going to continue this as long as the American people allow it. And then there's other things that are going on here too. FBI now uncovered even more Clinton emails, but are we hearing about these things? No. Breitbart will report on it, but will ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC? No, you'll never hear anything about that from them unless they can figure out a way to spin it their direction. And that's exactly how this whole thing goes, folks. And then there's an article from Jeff Van Drew who says that the impeachment violates American democratic values. First off, like I said before, this is not democratic values. But Jeff Van Drew is a Democrat. And he said Sunday that the Democrats' impeachment inquiry violates America's democratic values by undermining the upcoming 2020 presidential election. Now, how many times have you heard the Democrats saying that it is the Republicans who are trying to undermine the presidential elections? A couple weeks ago, I reported on one of these where the Democrats were saying that because of what Trump has been doing, he's trying to undermine the 2020 presidential election to make sure that he wins. I don't think Trump has to do too much to win because I think he will. But see, there are even Democrats who are against this whole impeachment circus that they have going on in Washington, D.C. And Shifty Schiff, he is the clown in chief here. He's the one who has decided that facts don't matter. I don't give a damn. Facts don't matter. I'm going to continue no matter what. But that Democrat, Van Drew, he said to some folks that's reminiscent of what was done to kings and queens many years ago. Everything our country does not stand for. Van Drew, along with Representative Colin Peterson, Democrat of Minnesota, served as the two Democrat congressmen to vote against a resolution that would formalize the rules and procedures surrounding the impeachment inquiry against Trump.
New Jersey Democrat said that the president's actions regarding Ukraine are unsavory, but he has yet to learn of anything that would warrant removing him from office. Van Drew also complained that the fact that other Democrats had called to impeach Trump before his call with the Ukraine president, which I had played that audio of earlier, aids the president's arguments that the Democrats have rigged the investigation to lead to impeachment. And they have. When they first started this whole thing, that's what they were after. They didn't want him in office. It didn't matter that the American people had voted him in. And now we've got a thing from Elizabeth Warren now saying that if she gets into office, if she wins the presidency, she will get rid of the Electoral College. First off, she wouldn't be able to do that as president. That is not something the president can do. The only time you ever hear anything about the Electoral College being a bad thing is when the Democrats lose. When they lose, that's their go-to person. That's their go-to thing. Oh, the Electoral College, that's what caused us to lose. The American people didn't, because the American people voted for us. No, they didn't. Here's the thing, folks. We get rid of the Electoral College, and here's what we'll elect presidents from now on. New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. There you go. The rest of the nation won't matter. They get rid of the Electoral College. You might as well, people in Hawaii might as well just not even vote at all. They're not going to matter. They're going to be completely just non-existent when it comes to voting. People in New Mexico will be non-existent when it comes to voting. People in California, oh yeah, they'll be existent. People in Illinois, people in New York. But the Bible Belt, middle of the nation, we might as well not even vote anymore. Because our votes will not matter. Presidential candidates will never go to these states. They will go to New York, Illinois, California. They'll never go to Texas. They'll never go to New Mexico. They'll never go to Arizona. They'll never go to Indiana. Because these states will not matter anymore. They will never go to Alaska or Hawaii because they are not needed. Get rid of the Electoral College, and people who live in the states that vote on their conscience and the way things should be might as well not even vote at all, because their votes will be nil and unimportant because they will be gotten rid of. Because there will be only about three or four places in this nation, this whole nation, that will elect presidents, congressmen, especially just the president, essentially. You get rid of the Electoral College and there will never be another there will never be another Republican president or even a Democrat that believes in the Constitution. Forbes says he's struggling to stay awake, man. You should go to bed. He also mentioned flyover country. Yeah, all this flyover country in the middle of the nation. Might as well forget about voting there. Your votes will never matter. It is the Electoral College that keeps you in the elections. And the only, like I said, the only time the Democrats do not like the Electoral College is when they lose. We'll be right back. Thank you.
We will be right back after these important messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
We have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
In the world of business, it's always exciting to announce the formation of a new one, and an LLC to boot. Enter now, Eye in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, based in Jamestown, Indiana, 46147. With drones being the big up-and-coming billion-dollar industry, Eye in the Sky has gotten in close to the ground floor, and the possibilities are endless. From photographing homes for realtors to weddings with video and photos, Eye in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, affiliated with Garden Graphics and Printing, can attain all your needs in photography from a perspective hard to attain to. That's Eye in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, 317-827-3270, or email us at gardinger@reagan.com. We are your one-stop for drone service company for photography.
Okay, we are back. I found an article here that actually kind of is pretty interesting. I found it from Breitbart, of course, and it talks about Newsweek recently demoting an editor over news which follows the firing of a reporter behind a highly inaccurate story that stated President Trump was tweeting and golfing on Thanksgiving when he actually was en route to Afghanistan to surprise U.S. troops. And we've all had this. We've all seen this in the mail, or, you know, in the news and everything about how he went over there. But it said a spokesman for Newsweek confirmed to The Wrap on Monday that an editor has been demoted as part of the ongoing fallout stemming from a controversial Thanksgiving article titled "How Trump is Spending Thanksgiving? Tweeting, golfing, and more." The publication faced immense backlash over the piece after it was revealed that the president was actually in Afghanistan surprising U.S. troops. And the thing that was wild about this one was, you know, they were sitting there accusing Trump of doing things he wasn't doing, and all Newsweek did was they provided an update later in the day which read, quote, "This story has been substantially updated and edited at 6:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to reflect the president's surprise trip to Afghanistan. Additional reporting by James Crowley." The publication terminated Jessica Kwong, who authored the original piece. "The problem with this story is that it didn't contain reporting," a Newsweek spokesperson told Breitbart News. "It was published before Thanksgiving was over. We are trying to pull Newsweek away from that and into reporting." Well, it's about damn time. every news organization from CNN to ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC. All of them should be doing that, but they're not. Newsweek added that it will continue to review its processes and take, and quote, take further action, unquote, if required. They went on to say, from the start of her tenure as editor-in-chief of Newsweek, Nancy Cooper has moved the newsroom towards strong reporting, such as the scoop on Baghdadi's killing, and away from knee-jerk political snarkiness, the spokesman said, adding, this story did not meet the standard she has set. I've seen so little in the media these days that would stand up to that standard. But the president, and here's the thing that the president does that just puts the media completely at odds with everything. The president, however, seemed unfazed by Newsweek's inaccurate piece. He said, I thought Newsweek was out of business. He wrote on Twitter Thursday afternoon. Ilhan Omar, that un-American, unpatriotic, Islamic homophobe in our Congress, on Thanksgiving posted a flashback of her reciting an Islamic prayer at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Washington, D.C. as part of a service she attended in January. Omar attended what was described as a multi-faith gathering, which drew a number of high-profile attendees like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy, Democrat, Illinois, Representative Donna Shalala, Democrat, Florida, and many more, and they were all Democrats, I will wager you. But on Thanksgiving, Omar posted a flashback video featuring the freshman lawmaker reciting an Islamic prayer at the service. Who cares? I really don't. When I go around Albuquerque and see a new building being occupied and it says that it's a new Muslim place, all I can do is shake my head. What are we doing, folks? We're letting these people in and all they want to do is destroy our nation? That's just like voting in Democrats who have told us all, oh, I want to get rid of the Constitution. I want to get rid of the Electoral College. I want to get rid of everything that will keep my party out of office. And that's what we are doing by electing people like Ilhan Omar, who has no love for this country at all, wants to destroy it. That's what we are doing by allowing Muslims to move into this country like we are going out of style and we have to keep them here. No, we don't. They're destroying our nation. They are working on destroying our nation. And I'm running out of time now, so I'm going to have to end this right now. I had 90 minutes left or 90 seconds left. So we are right now at the end of our show, and we are coming to the end of it now. And I am in the process now of trying to find where my final song for my show is supposed to be. It's here somewhere because I know I added it in there. But it kind of looks like it's not even there. But I'm going to have to end the show with a song of some kind. So I've got one here. But I will be here this Friday, and we will be back then. And God bless you all. God bless America. God bless our troops, and we will not be ruled. Have a good day.
Coming up for air, pretty stuff in the bed. Like I said, I didn't care, but I forgot to leave a note. And if I had to stay afloat, soaking wet without a boat. And I knew I should have taken off my shoes. It's front page.